We read from Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read from the NIV 1984 edition. Because of the word that's in the Greek language translated fear, but NIV has it as awe, and it's a little better translation here. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In my office, I receive reports sometimes from congregations. Pastors might send me a report that comes in for a quarter where they've had a voters meeting and wanted to share something with me. On the other hand, too, they may send an annual report. Imagine my reading a report of a congregation period of time there that would read like the one we just heard here. Do you think I can sing the Te Deum pretty loudly? I think so. I might want to check through the roster, right? Is this really on the list, this church? It's a glowing report. Fantastic. Apostles' teaching, staying with the apostles' teaching, the fellowship and the sharing of possessions with one another, the breaking of bread, a term used for Holy Communion, celebrating it regularly, the joy that was there among these people, the confidence that they had too, to bring their requests to the Lord in prayer. All of this, fantastic. But you and I know the bumps were coming. The warts and the blemishes were there, right? Not too far distant. Just read on in the book of Acts, read on in Galatians, read on in Paul's letters to Corinth and so on. Apostles' teaching, the doctrine, Holy Scripture. You read in Galatians, dashed. They were following another gospel. Getting away from Christ's grace alone saving. The matter of breaking of bread. Take a look at what Paul had to say in 1 Corinthians 11 regarding the people's manner of communing, not properly examining themselves. The matter of the fellowship and the sharing with one another. Just a few chapters later, you've got Ananias and Sapphira here in the book of Acts. The whole matter of prayer, too. James, brother of the Lord, no doubt writing to people from the Jerusalem area there too. Well, he writes and says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Most of you here are planning to go somewhere, I think, this week. Probably you're thinking of going home, going off to a summer job, maybe going for a permanent job, maybe going off to get married. Maybe if you're a prof, yeah, might be going for a vacation. But you're going somewhere. There's a question that we might ask here. No, it's a question we should ask here. And that is, where are you going on the first day of each week? Where are you going to go? What kind of church are you going to look for? A perfect church, right? What kind of church? Perfect church? I understand, I haven't been there before, but I understand in Milan, Italy, that there happens to be a prominent cathedral there that has a threefold archway, and over each arch there is an inscription. Over one arch there is a wreath of roses that has been carved out, and underneath is the saying, all that pleases is but for a moment. Over another arch There is a cross, someone bearing a cross there, and it says, all that troubles is but for a moment. And then over the third arch is simply this, that only is important, which is eternal. Bethany has all been about that, hasn't it? And it is about that. It's not just education for a lifetime, but education that lasts beyond a lifetime. Yes, our prayers as people go forward, as you're going out this week, wherever you go, we're praying that, yes, you can fulfill dreams in many ways that you have about life in this world. And we're hoping, too, that you'll be a tremendous benefit to your communities, wherever you are. Fantastic group of talent going out. And yet, we do know this, don't we? Really, it's true what that arch was saying. The eternal is what counts. And that's what Bethany has been about here, too, isn't it? Is about the eternal. As we think of what Jesus said there, what does it profit a man if he gains his own soul? If he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So, in connection with the eternal and the matter of church, thinking of a church to go to and to select, can you imagine a little bit of a soliloquy going on? Isn't it true, my soul, that I need faith in Jesus as the Savior for eternal life in heaven? Isn't it also true, my soul, that without Him, though everything else would be going so well in this world, I really would have no hope? And isn't it also true that if I pinch myself and see I have flesh and blood, my soul, isn't it true that I come under that statement about humanity when it talks about us by nature as being dead in trespasses and sin? Isn't it also true, my soul, that if there were a spiritual CAT scan going on of my heart, impure motives would easily be shown toward my God, toward my neighbor? Isn't it also true that apart from what God would tell us in His Word regarding the salvation that He does offer, apart from that, we would be looking, I, as my soul, would be looking to an ongoing, never-ending kind of separation from the Holy God? Isn't it true, my soul, that God tells us in His Word that we have the answer, that Jesus has come and that He has lived the holy life in the place of my soul, and that He has died the death of the damned in the place of my soul and in the place of everyone's soul, and that He has raised Himself victorious from the grave, giving me assurance of my own forgiveness and the gift of eternal life through faith in Him? Now, my soul, isn't it also true? Isn't it also true that the faith in Jesus as the Savior is really worked by the Holy Spirit? And that is worked only through the means of grace, word, and sacrament? That there is no other way? And isn't it really true, my soul, that it does say somewhere in the book of Romans there, that how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching? And then it even says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, back to the matter of church. Where believers are gathered around word and sacrament, where they are rejoicing and taking to heart seriously the teachings of the prophets and the apostles, where they're gathered there in confidence, knowing that this message of Jesus Christ as it is proclaimed is really what life is all about, and that we have this certainty of heaven through Him, where that's taking place, the Holy Spirit is certainly at work. There is where what matters for eternity is found. There is where there is the great gift each of us need, and we treasure it, forgiveness of sins. And you know, as Luther said, you can finish it. Where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. This is how God the Holy Spirit promises to keep you and me alive until life eternal. So, what are you going to look for in a church? If you want to measure it with what we read in the text, perfection. You're going to look for that. What are you going to look for in a church? You've heard the chaplain say before that when God's people go and build a cathedral, the devil's often right there building a chapel nearby. How do we look upon church? Do we see it more as some kind of a museum to display the holier-than-thou? Or do we really see it as a hospital? A hospital where you and me, sick, dying people by nature that we are there together, holding hands together, coming to the great physician who is able and does indeed heal our souls. That's what it's all about. That's what you and I have, full and free forgiveness from Christ's life, cross, and empty tomb. So are you looking for a perfect church? Well, you are looking for a perfect church in this way. You're going to look for a church that is presenting the perfect Savior. You're going to look for a church that wants to stay with God's holy word, absolutely pure throughout. It is the teaching of the apostles this way and the prophets. You're going to look for one that's going to have the celebration, the breaking of bread, where we have that true body and blood of Christ offered in Holy Communion. You're going to look for one where there's that proper division of law and gospel, where people are rejoicing with confidence that they can bring their requests to the Lord in prayer and receive answers because this is the Savior that cares for us every step of the way in our life. Thank God. Thank God for churches where this is being done. Thank God for your pastor where that's being done. And let's remember this, as we're there as sinners, remember that it is really Him. It's all about Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who washes and presents sinners to be without stain and blemish. No matter how many blemishes you might see in the place you're going to gather with other Christians, and no matter how the structure might look, beautiful, ornate, with a cross and a high peak, or going to be in a storefront setting or someplace else, maybe homes like they did in Acts, wherever it is, remember Him who washes and presents sinners to be without stain and blemish. In Him we trust. May God bless your going every Lord's Day. Amen.